the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. Praise God. Praise God. The reason why God does all that is because of the promise of His gifts. Hallelujah. I want you to look at somebody and say, God has given me gifts. I heard two of you do it. God has given me gifts. Look at somebody and say, God has given me gifts. And then you're thinking, I don't know what they are. Well, we're going to find out. You're going to see some of the gifts that He's given you. This is a little bit different. I think I may say a couple of things this morning that you may not have heard before. But when we're talking about gifts, like I said earlier, we've talked about the nature of the church. We've talked about the purpose of the church. This morning we're going to talk about the gifts of the church. And I want you to understand that all the things that God gave, all of the stuff that God has given, is for the church. It's for the church. Now, if you're part of the church and God's given you a gift, it's for the church. But as we're looking at this morning, I want you to know that there's been books and big books and books this thick, lots of little books this thick, written about the general idea of the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the church. And my purpose this morning is not to go through every one of them, but to show you that we have received gifts, and there are gifts to us, there are gifts through us, and there are gifts in us. And by the us, I mean all of us as part of the body of Christ, as part of the church. Now, I saw this. I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just getting my thoughts ready for this message. And I saw this big room. Big room, like a warehouse room. Really looked pretty. And there was all kinds of gift-wrapped packages in there. And as I got a vision of that, I heard this in my spirit say, that's the church. That's the church. And I got this thought. If there were a place that was full of gifts, and all you had to do to get them was to go there, and I really believed it, I'd go where the gifts were. Because God said this to me. He said, every time you go to church, every time you assemble yourself together with the body of Christ, you should expect to receive something. And if you'll expect to receive it, I'll gift you with it. You will receive a gift. Now, like I said, this is only an abbreviated part of what you could say about the gifts. But you do what you can do. And you approach it the way God gives it to us. And let me say this. As I said earlier, we either don't know or we don't believe about some of the things of God. And the Lord said, if you really believe that I'm going to give you something every time you come, you wouldn't miss. If you really believe that your life could be changed forever in a way that you can't even think about, you wouldn't miss. Now, when I'm talking about missing, I'm not talking about missing because of something else. I'm just talking about missing because you just didn't want to go. And you never know what gift you're going to miss. You know, I can remember when Laverne and I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit years ago, first started going to the sheep shed. We couldn't miss anything. I mean, it didn't matter what they had. It was going. We couldn't miss it. I mean, we just couldn't miss it. Because we had this sense that if we missed it, we was going to miss something. And I was working for one of the men in the church. And I'd work all day, and sometimes we'd get finished at night, just in time to get home and change clothes and get to the service. And then sometimes things would start happening the way things were, and the service would start maybe we started at 7, I think it was. It might be 10:30 by the time you got through praying for everybody. Maybe later than that, sometime midnight. And I have gone and I have stayed there, as the old saying is, till the last cat was hung. Till the last prayer was prayed, till the amen, the benediction, the lights were out. And then I've gotten up with the job type that I had, 4:00 the next morning. Take a truckload of material someplace up in Indiana to a building site. Sometimes drive 100 miles to take it. I can remember one time I did that. I was so sleepy. On the way up there, I had to pull off beside the road and just sit there for a minute till I could kind of get awake. But it was just something about, no matter what it was, we just couldn't miss. There's a freshness to it. But there's two gifts to us that I want you to be aware of. God's gifts to us. And the first one is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How many of you have ever had to pay, now unless you bought it yourself, but if somebody else gave you a gift at Christmas time, any of you had to pay for it? The only time I know of that you had to pay for a gift that's been given to you is if your kids borrow money from you so they can go buy you something and give it to you. But generally speaking, you know, if I gave you a gift for Christmas, I wouldn't expect you to pay me back for that gift. Hey, here's a Christmas gift. It costs $20. Oh, here's your $20. See, that's not the way gift giving works. And we got to understand that with regard to salvation. Salvation is a gift that God has given us, and we don't give Him anything back in order to receive it. What do? We appreciate it. We put it to good use in our life. We don't just set it off over here and say, oh, that's my salvation. I don't have time to fool with that. God gave me salvation. I'm going to put it on like clothes. God gave me salvation. I'm going to put it on like shoes. God gave me salvation. I'm going to ride it like it was a car. God gave it to me, and I'm going to put it to use in my life, but I have to understand that it is a gift. There's no strings attached. And you know what? I've never had anybody give me a gift and then come back and take it away from me because they didn't think I was using it right. God gives us the gift of salvation. And within that gift of salvation is everything you need to make everything work right. But like I said, you can use it, you can abuse it, you can set it aside. You can refuse to read the directions. You're going to ad lib it. You're going to figure it out. But it works a whole lot better when you read the instructions. But it is a gift. It is a gift that God has given to us. And by giving us that gift, He makes us part of the church. He makes us part of the body of Christ. It's like I said a couple of Sundays ago. A baby is not born and then later on joins the human race. A baby is born a full-blooded member of the human race. There is no joining procedure after he's born. When it says in Acts that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, it'll say the same thing. You don't get saved and then join the church. When you are saved, you are born as a member of the church. Now, you may get a certificate of membership at a local body, but you don't join the body. You're born into it. But it's a gift. A gift that God gives us, a gift of life. Gift of a renewed, regenerated spirit. God's gift to us. And one other gift that God gives to us. It's spoken of in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Being saved is a gift. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit itself is a gift. Doesn't mean here that you're going to receive the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't say plural. It says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to in many places as God's gift to the church. God's gift to us. Something we just have to receive. Not something we have to tarry for, strive for, work for, beg for, but just something to receive. The Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this. I believe that everything else that God has given us, whether you're talking about healing, whether you're talking about financial miracles, whether you're talking about all of those things, as far as I'm concerned, fall under the category of God's gift of salvation and the Holy Spirit. When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of these other things automatically come with it. When you receive God's salvation, all of these other things immediately come with it. See, it's the Spirit of God that saves you. Spirit of God becomes alive in us. Spirit of Christ enters us. We become children of God. We're directed and ministered to by the Spirit of life that lives in us. And Peter said, "You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, a lot of people don't know it. Because nobody ever told them. The gift of the Holy Spirit? What do you mean the gift of the Holy Spirit? We don't even know whether there is such a spirit or not. We haven't even heard that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. That's what the believers told Paul and them. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" What do you mean? We never even heard of the Holy Ghost. They were saved, but they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Because they weren't taught. Suppose somebody put $1 million in your bank account or put $1 million in a bank account for you, opened an account, put $1 million in it, and you didn't know it. How much benefit would you get out of that $1 million? None. And what would you do? You'd probably worry about finances, not knowing that you had $1 million to cover those finances. And you'd be fretting and sweating. We do that with the things of life. Because we do not know or we do not believe that God gave us His Spirit so we can overcome everything that faces us in this life. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gift's to us. Right on the top. Salvation and the Holy Spirit. And then put everything else under those things. Because we don't have time to talk about everything else that goes under those things today. Now when we see that, God's gifts to us. And the next category I said was God's gifts through us. That means what God will use you for to reach to somebody else. God's gifts through us. One of the things that we kid ourselves about is we think we're worth something. You take away what God's done in you, what do you have to give anybody? Just think about what you were like without God. Who would want that? Think about it. I mean, I don't know how bad you've been, how good you've been. But some of you, you know, you think what you were like without God, you know, you wouldn't even plague somebody with that. You're just glad you're not that way yourself now. And even though you might be a good person, it's very limited what you've got to give to anybody else. Well, you know, I know it's tough, but just, it'll be all right. And you're saying, no, it won't, but I got to tell them that. If you're doing it yourself. If there's nothing behind you, you're not offering something through you, but you're only offering what you've got. If you don't have something in yourself, how are you going to deal with it? How can you tell somebody else to deal with something you can't deal with yourself? But let's look at some of the through us gifts. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, having then gifts, something you have been given in order that you may give. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, you have your gift that was given to you, or your gifts that have been given to you, you have them by the grace of God. They were given to you. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now all of you know Brother Jim Childs that comes, the prophet of God, he comes and he prophesies. And you can ask him to give you a word, and he just doesn't seem to have any problem at all saying something over you. And it's been my experience is that I listen to him prophesy to different ones in the congregation. It's always as though he knew what you were doing and thinking. Now, how's he do that? And you say, now, if somebody came up to you and said, prophesy to me. But you might just be able to have a word. And even sometimes prophecy is just speaking forth the word of God. Just speaking forth the word of God. I prophesied to a Bible to a prayer group years ago before I even knew what was happening. I prophesied to a Spirit-filled prayer group, and I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't even know what it was. And all I did to do it was just, I felt like I heard something in my head, said, quote this verse of Scripture. And I quoted it. And when I quoted a verse of Scripture, you know, it was just like everybody in there had been holding electrical wire and somebody threw the switch. Because they went, oh, hallelujah, praise God. And I'm like, over a Scripture verse? And after it was over with, one of the leaders came up to me and said, you know, so we've had something that we've really been pondering. We've really been wanting the Lord to tell us. And he said, we got our answer through you tonight. And you know how that worked that way and why it worked that way? If the answer had come through one of them, they all knew the situation, and so they would have been wondering, well, did I say this because this is what I think ought to be done, or did I really say it by the Spirit of God? But when I say it, an outsider that doesn't even know what's going on and speak that into them, then you have more confidence. Hey, God just spoke to us. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. Whatever the ministry is. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. Sometimes God just uses you to be an encourager. You don't preach sermons. You don't sing songs. You just say the right thing at the right time. And it encourages the people. He who gives with liberality. God expects us all to give, but sometimes there are people whose gift is giving. He says, if your gift is that, give it with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, there's people that give. They don't give it with cheerfulness. You know, there's... We work every year the kettles for the Salvation Army at Walmart, and I see when I'm working, I don't know some of the rest of you when you are or not, people come in, and I've seen people put money in there and frowning when they did it. I mean, it doesn't look... It's like, you're out here that kettling. I can't go in without putting something in it there. And then others will come by and they'll put something in and say, God bless you. And it's just like there's a difference in the attitude of the people that are giving. And some of them, it just maybe they have something else on their mind. But all of these are gifts that God's given to work through us. Now let's expand on that and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Difference of ministries. Maybe one person has an evangelistic ministry. Maybe one person, they just absolutely thrills them to go to prison and go to jail and minister to the inmates. Maybe somebody else sings contemporary Christian music. Maybe somebody else sings bluegrass Christian. That's the differences of ministries, but the same ministry. Same Spirit in a Christian bluegrass song as in a contemporary gospel song ought to be the Spirit of God moving. And the Spirit of God can do that. The Spirit of God can move through bluegrass music whether you like it or not. The Spirit of God can move on somebody through rap music whether you like it or not. Doesn't matter, you know, it's not just what blesses me, Because, see, for so many years, people locked out the movement of God because their attitude was, if it's God, everybody will like it just like I do. If the preacher's preaching by the anointing of God, it'll be just exactly like I'm used to. He'll shout and puff and huff. It don't matter how much you puff and huff and shout, you got to say something. And I'll tell you what, if you say something that's the powerful word of God and you don't huff and puff and shout and spit, it will have more effect in the long run on people's lives than just getting up and using a style to say something but never really say anything when you're saying it. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And in verse 31 of that chapter, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, I'm going to rewrite that. And I know we get in trouble if we do that. But I'm going to rewrite this so you'll hear something a little different. But earnestly desire to be the best at the gifts you have. The best gifts. What's the best gifts? Which ones are the best ones? You got all of these gifts. Which ones are the best ones? Are the best ones the more prominent ones? You know which is the best gifts? The best gifts are the ones that are needed for that occasion. You know, if I need someone with the gift of helps, my need at that moment might not be that I need somebody to prophesy or that I need somebody to speak in tongues. You know. If I got a leak in the roof, I don't really, you know, I don't really care how well you can speak in tongues. It doesn't really bother me that you can prophesy out of that hole. But it sure would bless me if somebody said, I can fix that thing. God's given me the ability to work on that kind of thing. I can do it. I can do it. Don't sell yourself short. Whatever God's given you the ability to do, just put it out there and get it done. 2 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, what I say? 1 Corinthians 14. You don't have a 2 Corinthians 14? Did your Bible get tore out? 1 Corinthians 14. Now, y'all got to listen to what I mean, not what I say. 1 Corinthians 14. Because I'm there. See? So I knew where I was going, or I wouldn't have been there. I would have looked at 14 in 2 Corinthians, and I wouldn't have found it either. But I will take the responsibility for saying the wrong thing. This would be hard not to. You have trouble blaming that on somebody else. Yeah. You know, distracted me. No. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. The word means eager. You want to do something. Since you are eager or zealous for spiritual gifts. Now you got to understand that the spiritual gifts he's talking about here you can find in 1 Corinthians 12. Spiritual gifts of the Spirit. You know, like the prophecy and word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, all of those. And what Paul is saying here is y'all really got a desire to get involved in that. I mean, you got some zeal for those kind of things. You got zeal to speak in tongues in the service, but you don't want to help fix the bathroom sink. You want to prophesy, but you don't want to help straighten up the outside of the church. What do you mean, work in the flower bed? God called me to prophesy. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Listen at that commission. Let it be for the building up of the church that you seek to excel. In other words, if you're zealous for the spiritual gifts, if you're zealous to do something for the kingdom of God, if you're going to sing, let it be for the edification of the church and not so people say, "Oh, how wonderful you sing." Let everything that we do be for the building up of the church. That's God's gifts through us to the church, to the world. Building up of the church that you seek to excel. You know, God doesn't use us in the gifts. God doesn't give us abilities so that we can hoard them and glory in them. Everything is for the glorification of the kingdom of God. And the last one is the gifts in us. The Spirit of God moves through us. The Spirit of God may heal people by our laying on of hands, but that healing comes from the Spirit of God. Not everybody that we lay hands on will get the same results in exactly the same way. You may see one who will get an instantaneous healing. There may be another one that doesn't seem to get anything. And then there may be another one that in 6 weeks they say, "It's gone, but I don't remember when it was." And those things flow through us. But there are giftings that God birthed us with. Special abilities that God put within us. How many of you have already figured out that everybody does not have an equal ability to sing? Everybody does not have the equal ability to stand in front of people and to proclaim something without feeling like they're 2 quarts of courage low. It scares me. You know, somebody say, I can talk to one person, but just getting up in front of people, I just can't. It just scares me, and I just lose everything I'm thinking. I can't think of nothing. But you put me out here with one person, and let me talk to them, and I can share my heart with them. What do? You use the gift. You keep the gift going. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I got 1 Timothy, don't I, Barbara? 1 Timothy. I didn't? I put 2 Timothy. Well, blessings. I put 1 Timothy on my list. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of my mistakes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There's two ways God imparts something into you, and that is you are born with it, and then His Spirit comes on you, not to overpower you, but to empower you to do everything that God, when you were born with it, knew you would need to fulfill the purpose that He has for you. And I can promise you, you have gifts in you. You may not have discovered them yet, but you have gifts in you. And at the end of this month, when we have the ministry fair, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be presented out there that will require gifts from people. And somewhere in there, you have a gift that you can use. You can pray. God doesn't care what you sound like as long as you're sincere. There are people that can pray and get God to do stuff that can't pray in front of people because they just don't have, they haven't done it, they're not comfortable with it, and they can't keep their mind focused because they know people are listening to them. And then there are other people that can pray in front of people and don't get nothing done. And then there are people that can pray in front of other people and get something done. But it all comes by the presence of the gift of God within us. But you know, the gifts of God enhance what you have. They don't necessarily change it. If you're a type 1 personality, or if you're familiar with the term a choleric, God will get the best of your choleric out of you if you'll yield to the Spirit of God. But if you're a phlegmatic or a melancholy, that's not necessarily meaning that God is going to take you and make a choleric out of you. If we were all cholerics, we would have battles constantly. Would never be able to get anything done because everybody would want to lead. And on the other hand, if everybody was phlegmatic, we'd just all sit back and just drift down the river and get nothing done. And you know, it's amazing, you know, if you notice how the pairing up of couples when they feel like that they have gotten what God wanted for them. Now, you see, it's a difference in what you think you want and what God wants for you. But when you get that, it is amazing that you very seldom see a dynamic couple, you very seldom see them where both of them have the same personality type. I'm phlegmatic. All the tests that I take, I'm phlegmatic. I'm laid back. I don't rush at anything. And I'm sanguine. That means that I'm bubbly and I'm outgoing and all that kind of thing, but I'm not hard driving. I don't push people. And see, that's why I got Laverne. That's why God put me with Laverne. She's choleric. Her gift pushes you. And somebody said one time, I heard this as an example back years ago, when you had a team of horses or mules, you had to be careful how you teamed them up. If you put two horses in a team, and both of them were choleric personalities, both of them were just get in there and pull, get in there and plow, get in there and do everything, just get it done. If you put a team of mules like that, they would wear themselves out before the end of the day competing against each other. But if you put a pair of mules together, a pair of horses together, and they were both kind of laid back, and neither one of them really wanted to get in there and do anything, and you put them on a plow, and they just go through the field, and it's just, you get nothing done that day. But they said the ideal situation was to find one that had that fire and one that's kind of laid back and put them in there together. And the one with the fire would keep the other one going, and the one that was laid back would keep the other one from burning themselves out. I have to tell Laverne every once in a while, honey, slow down. Sometimes I just have to get a hold of her and hold her back. And then there are those times when she comes in and she says, honey, get up. It's time to go. But those are the gifts. The gifts in us. The things that are going to be there every day when you get up. Going to work in you every day. You may not prophesy every day. You may not have a word of knowledge every day. But there is something that God has put in you that is there every day. And you can use it anytime you choose. And the problem just comes down to choosing it. But you see, the gifts. Well, I tell you what, God, I just wish you'd give me this. And, you know, somebody has a word of knowledge. Somebody's moving in the gifts. Somebody does that. And you, well, God says, what are you pouting about? Well, how come they always get to do all that? Do you desire to do it? Well, you know, it's just like, but they get more attention. You know what? What's that? They don't care. They're not doing it for the attention. They're doing it for my glory. For my glory. God gives gifts. And you know, one of the things that we have tried to instill in the people that we have ministered to, and in the ones that have ministry, you know. And this is just an example, and I'll finish with this, but you know, many times in certain events, whether it be when we had our camp meeting services, whether it could be a regular service, some other special time, we have it made out for people to do things. One of the things that we've told our singers, you're singing for the glory of God. If something happens in the service, the Spirit of God moves in a certain direction, and you don't get to sing, don't get offended. You get your turn. And you know, that's the thing that all of us have got to do. God is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. I've been in places where I was scheduled speaker. Supposed to be a speaker. I can remember one time at Bill Smith's camp meeting in Lexington. I was the speaker. I was the main speaker. Everything else going on, by the time they got to me, there was so much time that had been used, and he basically told me, he said, you got 17 minutes. You know what I did? Believe it or not, I used my 17 minutes. And I quit. I was done. I condensed everything I had to say into 17 minutes. I'm trying to figure out how I did that. I can do it again sometime. But it didn't bother me. I didn't get all upset. And I can't believe that they left me. I was a main speaker, and I got 17 minutes. I mean, you just flow with what goes. People got ministered to. Bill came up to me afterwards, and he said, I'll tell you, he said, that's the best 17-minute sermon I ever heard. And everybody talked about how much I got said in 17 minutes. Y'all stand.